In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We know that God is everywhere. We also know that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. The Bible tells us that all of the good things we have come from God. So we set aside a day of thanksgiving to express our gratitude to Him for those gifts. But our relationship with God is complicated. We cannot see God the way we see one another. We cannot speak with God the way we speak with one another. So where is God? How can we know Him and thank Him? Martin Luther wrote about what he called the hiddenness of God. God is spirit and most of the time invisible to us, except when He chooses to reveal Himself to us. God gives us His gifts and teaches us about Himself through means, through people and objects that we can hear and see and touch. It might seem logical to us that an all-powerful God would reveal Himself through acts of power and visions of glory. It may strike us as strange, then, that God instead chooses to reveal Himself through the commonplace, the ordinary, and especially through suffering. Luther called that the theology of the cross. Consider for a moment the life of Jesus Christ. His mother's labor and delivery were in the normal biological way of human beings. His parents were not well connected politically or celebrities. The Holy Family lived in a small town in a country that was not a player on the world stage at that time. Jesus never traveled very far from His home, and those who followed Him, His disciples, were not the movers and shakers of the day. Christ died like a criminal on the cross, the death of a slave or rebel. His own people considered Him cursed by God. However, through this man, Jesus, who appeared most ordinary, came the salvation of the world. God took this humble carpenter from the far reaches of the Roman Empire and made him the central, pivotal figure in all of history. Christ, our Savior, is still among us today. He is here, but hidden, present, yet invisible, except to the eyes of faith that have been initiated into the Christian mysteries. As we have said so many times, Christ speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. He is present in the waters of holy baptism to make us members of His church. And the bread and the wine of the Holy Communion are His body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Word and sacrament are how we hear, see, and experience Jesus. Especially on this Thanksgiving Eve, I'd like to explore another way that the hidden God is present with us. One of Martin Luther's genius insights was his teaching on vocation, our life calling, our work, whatever it is that we do. Our vocation, Luther says, is a mask of God, as God works through us for the good of ourselves and for the good of others. In that way, our humdrum, mundane, workaday lives are infused with spiritual meaning and energy. They have a mystic quality. Knowing that as we work, God is working in us and for us and for all humanity. God works through and for us sort of behind the scenes to meet our needs. God knows that we need food, so He gives us daily bread. God doesn't rain down manna from heaven as He did for the Hebrews in the wilderness. He gives us farmers and bakers and meat packers and truckers and grocery store clerks. He feeds us that way through the work of others. God knows that we need shelter. He doesn't have houses pop up out of the ground for us fully furnished. Rather, He gives us loggers and masons and carpenters and electricians and plumbers. The hidden God is behind all of those people. Their work is holy work, and God is hiding behind you. The mask that God wears is the face of our neighbor, and we are thankful for that. In addition to those professions that I just mentioned, there are some other important, extremely important vocations, big jobs that God has for many of us. They are usually non-paid positions, or at least not compensated in any way that would show up on a W-2. I'm talking about the vocations of being a spouse, a parent or grandparent, a citizen, and a church member. We can have, of course, more than one of those vocations at a time. These family, community, and church vocations that I just mentioned are the foundation on which our society, our culture, our world rests. They are often under siege these days, and if they are lost, or if one interferes with the other, we will be in a very bad way. Parenting is a vocation, and its purpose is to raise godly children. God created schools for children to learn the academic, technical skills that parents might not be able to teach well. And churches certainly have a role in the child's Christian formation. The primary responsibility of the parents is to teach their children morals and values, to shape their intellect and their character. More and more, other groups are getting involved with that. And that's just not right. If we confuse our vocations, there is great danger. It's nice to have others to help care for a child, but a child's physical, mental, and spiritual welfare is the responsibility of the parents and the family. Our work, our vocations are so important. We often define ourselves by our work. We meet someone and we say, "What do you do?" Meaning, what is your job? We ask children all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? Many of us spend more time working, getting ready for work, and commuting to work in a typical day than we do interacting with our family or praying. Working too much and our anxiety about work can obviously be detrimental to our spiritual and family lives. And a lot of times, retirees, or those who work in the home without a paycheck, often feel as if they're not useful or as if they're not serving any purpose in life. Let me say right now, that is not true. You have value beyond what you do or what you earn. You are a valued child of God. How do we know that? We know that because God loves you. God loves you so much that in the divine service, God serves you and serves us all with word and sacrament, forgiving our sins and forming in us the mind of Christ, inspiring us to do good works for others, whatever those good works might be. As the divine service ends, we are sent back out to praise God and serve our neighbors. Each of us has a God-given calling. There is something that God wants each of us to do. Maybe it's huge. Maybe it's subtle. Whatever it is God's will for you, and it is perfect. How can we know what God wants us to do as our vocation? We might have ambitions or dreams about what we might like to do, but we might not always be the best judge of our own talents. I never want to squash anyone's hopes. So I encourage everyone, go ahead, follow your dreams. Just keep in mind that maybe God has something else for you. Me, I really wanted to play guitar. I took lessons, I tried, but I'm not just musical. Music is not the talent God gave me. But from a young age, for some reason, I was always chosen to be the MC at our elementary school assemblies. Maybe it was because I was the only child in the school who could pronounce our principal's name, Mrs. Masakovich. And people at my church, encourage me to be involved in church activities. Looking back, I was groomed in the best sense of the word for a church vocation. For many of us, we find that what we ought to do is what other people tell us that we're good at, what they encourage us to do. God's call is mediated to us by others. Wise, caring Christians can guide us in the ways that we should go. God also has a way of putting us in the place where we need to be, where we ought to be. Now, it's very possible that God might have a vocation for you in the Fiji Islands. If he does, he'll open a door for that possibility for you. But if you're in Western New York, it's more likely that this is the place that he's chosen for you, something closer to home. So again, follow your dreams, but know that God might have another plan. We'd be less than honest if we didn't acknowledge that our vocations can sometimes seem like a burden. Parenting is the toughest job in the world I know. And I see these caregivers in nursing homes, and I wonder, how can these people do that day after day after day? A friend of mine used to say that her dream job was selling jelly beans in a department store. And I guess that would be great until she didn't meet her sales quota and her boss was on her back, or until she had to work on her day off because somebody else called in sick, or until the store closed and left her unemployed because of a bad economy. Every job has its frustrations and anxieties. Doing the job that we are called to do, even when it is less than pleasant, even when it is much less than pleasant, is a way that we bear our cross. Washing the soiled laundry, working an extra shift so somebody else can stay home with their sick child, making a hot meal for somebody who's been working hard all day. They might be little things, they might be big things, but they are all part of being a Christian and bearing the cross. Years ago, one of my children spiked a fever in the middle of the night. We were out of Tylenol. I looked all over. I finally found an all-night convenience store, bought the Tylenol. He felt better. The person who was the cashier in that convenience store probably had no idea that she was doing God's work. When we are bearing the cross, we look to Christ then in prayer. Christ proved who he was and is by suffering on the cross. We know he knows what's going on with us. He knows all of our worries and troubles. As the commercials say, he gets us. And through it all, God provides. The hidden God takes care of us, his children. And he blesses us in this life, and he will bless us in the next. And he gives us the great opportunity here so that we can be a blessing to others. All thanks and praise be to him. Amen. Let us sing now the first and last verses of hymn number 892, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.